Warning! This podcast exceeds the Surgeon General's recommended limit of awesome! This is Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases! It is, yet again, another Nutty Debate, and if you're watching this on YouTube, you've seen us do this once already! Today we have a special hangout... Today we have a special hangout edition of Nutty Debates with our special guest star, Mr. Scott Roche!
Hello there!
And we also have with me is the Clockwork Doctor.
The perennial center square of these debates. Hello, everyone.
Center square or bottom square?
I am Bruce Valanche.
Get that man some drag.
And we're going to be discussing Westerns tonight. We are going to be talking about our favorite Westerns. And if we have time, we may move on to another topic. This debate was given very little notice, so we haven't had that much time to think, but I think I'm pretty much set with some of my answers already.
I think this is a fix.
It is not, well, it, actually, it technically is a fix, but no.
We'll get to that.
Scott, what's some of your favorite Westerns?
Gosh, I love the genre. I've always been a big fan of... movie and television Westerns. I haven't done much reading of Westerns. So I would say probably my favorite movie Western is The Shootist. It was one of John Wayne's last movies. And it was about a gunslinger who was sort of at the end of his time. It was right at the early 1900s. And he had... cancer, which I think, interestingly enough, is what John Wayne actually died of. And so he wanted to kind of go out with a quiet sort of ending and ended up going out shooting instead. So it's one of the few movies where John Wayne actually dies at the end. I don't think that's a spoiler because I think the movie's like 35 years old, something like that. So...
spoiled me. The movie was made before I was born.
Oh, that just made me feel old. And then probably my other favorite Western is also a John Wayne Western is The Cowboys. And that one is John Wayne, his character is getting ready to do a cattle drive. And none of the men in the town are available. So he hires boys in age from... 11 or 12 up through like 16 or 17. And he takes them on this cattle drive, and it's just the story of, it's more about the boys than it is about John Wayne, which is one of the reasons why I like it. So yeah, big John Wayne fan.
So you're a John Wayne Western guy, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Tech.
Okay. Let's talk about why I haven't watched a lot of Westerns. We know from previous debates and from my physics lectures that I'm a stickler for realism, and I do enjoy a very believable story. And my dad is a huge Western fan, and I grew up with a lot of Westerns on the TV while my dad was watching them. And in every single one of them, every time someone shoots a gun, the trigger is pulled, you hear a ricochet. He shoots into the air, you still hear that noise in every movie. Now, I've been shooting guns since I was 4 years old, competitively shooting since the age of 14. That noise happens. It does. It really does when you hit a rock at distance in like an open gravel pit. But it's really rare. And okay, even if you say that, hey, but the West was a giant gravel pit with nothing in the way, so you're going to hear it more. Sure, but not that often. And it is so loud and so annoying. And even... In the era of the late 50s and early 60s, when perhaps some of the greatest Western movies came out, along with some of the greatest war movies, even the great war movies like A Bridge Too Far, The Longest Day, the movies I'm supposed to like as a war nut, you hear the wow, 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 that damned ricochet. It's like the Wilhelm scream in Castle Thunder. It's this one ricochet noise that they used a thousand times. I just can't get past it in the genre.
Because it's cheap and easy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you want to talk about my favorite Western? Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, that's fair.
It's a video game for those of you listening at home.
It's a video game for the... I have it for the Xbox. I think it's also out on PS3. It's the sequel to Red Dead Revolver. It plays pretty much like Grand Theft Auto, but with horses. So it's an open world. The game has no... has a set overriding arc. It's the story of the redemption of a man whose family is kidnapped. Set in 1911, so it's at the very, very end of the cowboy era, and you start noticing things like motor cars, the trains have finally reached the weapons, automatic weapons, it's the end of the age.
Do you get to get a 911 as one of your weapons?
A 1911, yes, you do get a 1911, that's you get an automatic LeMay, you get a broomhandle Mauser, you get the gun that spelled the end of the cowboy era. Broomhandle Mauser, by the way, the gun Han Solo used. And he shot first. I just had to say.
Yes.
So it takes a couple hundred hours to beat the game fully to see everything that's there. The overall arc of the story is fantastic and beautiful, and no stupid ricochet noises.
And did you kill all the buffalo?
Oh, there is a special award for the Xbox that you will unlock called Manifest Destiny if you kill every buffalo on the map.
And they don't respawn.
Yeah,
there's all an actual finite number of buffalo.
All of the creatures in the game respawn except the buffalo, and you earn a special award if you kill them all.
There's no subtext or commentary there at all.
No, none at all.
That made me very sad.
But there'll always be more buffalo, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm gonna discuss a couple of different things. Growing up, my favorite westerns were the Young Guns movies. They were classics. You've got Blazing Saddles, Mel Brooks.
Oh, of course, yes.
Silverado, hysterical. Absolutely love that.
In that vein, I have to say Wagons East. It was fantastic and hilarious, and it was John Candy's last movie. Come on, you people.
Can I take Planes, Trains, and Automobiles over that one?
Yeah, but that's not a Western.
I know, but it's John Candy.
Or Uncle Buck.
Or Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck was fantastic.
Wagons East was not, no. But no, Westerns are a lot of fun. I will say that I really did enjoy the Gunslinger story from the Dark Tower series by Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic.
Oh yeah, that's a good, actually, literature-wise, you reminded me of one, Eye of the Dragon. By Stephen King. That was actually sort of a prequel to the Gunslinger series.
Right.
And so that was excellent. I love the combination of the fantasy elements and the Western. And actually, you also, that reminds me of a Brandon Sanderson book that I read relatively recently called Alloy of Law. That's really good. It's sort of basically you take the typical fantasy world and you advance the calendar to when the Wild West would happen in that world. So you've got magic and gunslingers.
Nice. I could definitely get into that. I do enjoy Westerns with other influences. So my favorite Western is going to have to be Firefly.
Yeah.
Firefly is my favorite Western.
Yeah, which is why I think this entire debate was a fix. When you're asking for favorite cowboy movies or favorite genre mesh. Yeah, you meant Firefly.
Yeah, well, that'll bring us into our next portion of the debate. That what are your favorite genre mashups?
Wait, before we get to that,
yes.
If I may,
yes.
Since we're talking about literary cowboy stories, you know what one of my favorites is?
Yes.
I was leaked this awesome short story called Way of the Gun, and it was awesome. Do we know anyone who might be involved in something like that?
And here, maybe. I thought you were crying fix over this. Yes. So what? Tell me more. What is this? The Way of the Gun. That sounds fascinating.
It's a weird genre mashup, steampunk, cyber, Way of the Samurai with guns in the Old West, and perhaps some of the best, most realistic gunplay I've ever read in a short story. I wish I knew who wrote it. Scott?
Yeah, Scott, do you know him?
That would be me. That would be me.
What? Be still my heart. What?
We're talking to the author.
Yeah. That's something that I started. Actually, I started that story a few years ago. I don't know if you guys were paying attention to Merle Lafferty's blog back when she was doing something called News from Poughkeepsie, actually Jared Axelrod was running it for her, and it was like basically four or five prompts a week for a number of weeks. And one of the prompts was this idea of having an attitude towards guns that was sort of religious. So guns is like these religious icons. And so I got an idea for this character who was sort of a combination of Kwai Chang Kane and Clint Eastwood. And so that's where the story was born. And I love spaghetti westerns. And I love samurai, specifically the Bushido code. And since the end of the samurai was around the same time as the Wild West, it was a natural to sort of fuse the two together. So I imagined a world where you have these gunslingers that follow this code, and they are the law in the Wild West, and they have to answer to these judges, which are a little bit more than the kinds of judges you might see in a Western. They're sort of a cross between a judge and a prophet, like an Old Testament prophet. They have all this political power and influence. And
when they pass judgment, it means something.
It's serious business.
Yeah, it's not just the law. It's judgment.
It's right. Sheriff Dredd.
Yes.
Exactly. The judges are like Judge Dredd in retirement. You know, not so much the guns, but definitely the attitude and the law. Well, of course, in this particular story, some of the judges are abusing that power, and you've got one character who is nearing the end of his career. So I'm influenced a little bit by my favorite Western, The Shootist. He's nearing the end of his life, nearing the end of his career. He is debating hanging it up, and he's got a student that has decided to take on the local bandits. He's a little bit of a zealot. So he calls these two bandits to a duel. And so the story, The Way of the Gun, is about the old teacher stepping in and saving his student from sure death. And the fallout from that. So,
excellent.
Yeah, that was the germ of the beginning of the story.
I have to say, I was really getting a big vibe as I was reading it. You said you were a fan of the Japanese samurai and all that. There is a type of character in Japanese stories called a kensai, the sword saints, who. Mm-hmm. The same sort of aspect. They're the eternal duelists wandering around Japan with this quasi-religious aspect around following the code of Bushido and around their weapons as well. You know, famous characters like Miyamoto Musashi and mm-hmm. others. And there, I was really, really getting that vibe, and I think that's why I completely inhaled the story in like one go and then read it again just because I didn't want to miss anything. And then I was going through it and I was like, okay, let's look at the gun stuff. And I read it like six more times. And then we traded a couple of emails back and forth talking about the scatter effect of buckshots over out of a sawed-off barrel versus a longer barrel and choke patterns. And then I read it again. And, yeah.
So what Tech is saying is that regardless, he would have wanted to be backing this Kickstarter. Now, as my listeners know, normally I don't have authors on. I don't do interviews. I will invite them on to do debates in order to promote their projects or whatever. I am stressing this one a little bit more than some other projects, mostly because it's awesome, that's for sure. But I do have a bit of an advantage should this Kickstarter come through.
Yes.
Scott has asked me to do the cover art for this anthology. And yes. I've explained The Way of the Gun on the Nutty Bites 35 that was actually uploaded this morning. So my listeners have learned that there's awesome stories coming out. But what I didn't tell you, because I was waiting for Scott to do the announcement himself, is that, yes, I am doing the cover art. So you want my cover art, back this project. Thank
That's
you.
Right. And I've been watching your art progress since you've been doing it, posting it on your blog. And I really like your style. And so I was glad that you were available to do this. I can't wait to see what you come up with.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Epic promo. Take one.
In a land before time.
We're in a radio station.
In a studio that came before vinyl.
We didn't come before vinyl. We started with it.
From a time that came before radio was epic.
Just read the lines.
One man decided to change history.
Nope.
Four men decided to change history.
We're not changing history.
Make history.
We're not making history.
Recite history.
Ah. God, please just read the line right there in front of you.
But the show is called Epic.
All you gotta do is say, listen to Epic, 5 p.m. on Monday, 11:30 a.m. on Friday, on 97.9 CHSR-FM in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Rocking thunderous echoes across the waves.
That's it. I'm done. I can't work with this guy. I'm telling you.
Thunderous echoes, a solemn walk off to the distance into the sunset. Kitty Sprinkles.
And we've got a new member in the, or a new guest rather, in the chat. Paul York from the Red Dwarf Podcast bows down to the almighty knowledge of tech, by the way.
Thank you.
Right. And I'm going to unmute Paul and invite him in.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Now, you missed the beginning part where we discussed our favorite Westerns. We're about to jump into our favorite genre mashups, or what genres would we like to see mashed up. But before we go on, I did want to note, I forgot to mention in my list of favorite Westerns, the latest Doctor Who Western, that episode with Ben Browder, was pretty awesome, because you had electricity going on in the Old West. It was a lot of fun.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to catching it. I'm caught up, except I haven't seen that, so...
It's good. It's a really fun episode. Paul, do you have any Westerns that you want to throw out there as your favorites?
I'm a sucker for the classic ones, like Unforgiven and Tombstone. One of my favorite ones, though, it kind of mixes in with the genre mashups as well, is Westworld.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a classic.
I remember watching that as a kid, and I'm like, Yul Brynner is scary, isn't that?
He is. He really is.
All I remember is just his face melting off, and showing parts of the robotic underskin.
Yep.
I'm not gonna lie. As a kid, I had nightmares for weeks.
He was the original Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think many kids went to bed with that image in their head.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of horrifying, as a child, I could never watch Doctor Who because I was too afraid of the theme music and I'd have to change the channel. So I never watched it until I grew up.
I'm glad you didn't watch Westworld as a kid.
Nah.
All right, so let's move on to favorite genre mashups. And I'm just going to throw out there that my favorite Western is also my favorite genre mashup, because you've got outer space and Westerns, and then Firefly, which Paul does not like.
Well, and you've also got all those, the Asian influences as well.
Oh,
so,
yes, absolutely.
And the thing I love about Firefly is Shepherd Book. He's my favorite character.
That surprised me.
Hands down. And particularly because of his mysterious sort of background.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys have read the graphic novel.
I have, and I choose to believe that he is an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
He has my favorite quote in the entire series, and that's, "I don't care what you believe, just believe."
That's right.
And
So yeah, he's. But I mean, you know, that's one good character in, you know, a whole host of excellent characters. Even the little one-off characters in that series are good.
I will throw out another genre mashup that I'm a big fan of. Pretty much steampunk anything is fun. Yes. But especially Batman steampunk. Gotham by Gaslight.
Gotham by Gaslight.
That's good. That's good. My favorite genre mashup, probably, or at least my favorite kind of genre mashup, and a really good example of it, is comedy and horror.
Ooh, yeah. I will agree with you on that one.
Done well.
Tremors.
And I'm thinking here of, we shouted out to Mel Brooks earlier, so I'm going to go with Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yes.
Classic.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, just, you know, I love how he plays with all of the elements of the traditional, of the Frankenstein movie, and puts so much funny, just epically funny stuff. That was Mel Brooks at his best. And Gene Wilder, who is one of my favorite comedians.
Fantastic. Madeline Kahn. I could just list the whole cast, but I mean, yeah.
But yeah, like modern, you know, I guess more current examples, Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yes. Love Shaun of the Dead.
Hands down, one of my favorite horror movies. And just because, I mean, they bring in enough comedy to take the edge off, and enough horror so that the comedy doesn't, you know, sort of, there's a great balance.
And look at the next mashup that same comedy pair did when they did Hot Fuzz.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah. That was the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, apparently. The third one was Paul, I think it was.
Oh yeah, so the alien one.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I have. It's really good.
I do want to see that. I've seen some clips. It looks really good. Another comedy horror that I'd like to put out there is Cabin in the Woods.
The movie we can't talk about.
Yeah, the movie we can't talk about. Except that there's comedy and horror. And that's it.
Who hasn't seen it?
Me.
Paul and possibly some listeners.
I also, another comedy horror that I thought was going to be absolutely abysmal, but it turned out to be really good. When I saw it on Netflix Instant Watch, is Doghouse.
What is it?
It's a Doghouse.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's a British movie, another British movie. The Brits do comedy and horror very well. Mm. It's about a bunch of guys who go away for a guy's weekend. One of them's getting married, and they wind up in this little town in the middle of nowhere that's been taken over by female zombies. And it's hilarious, but you have to have a really thick skin because they don't tread lightly on anybody's sacred cows. But it's funny. It's good stuff.
We're gonna have to look this up.
Favorite genre mashups. All right, I got three.
Okay.
Literary, it is going to be the mixture of sports and science fiction, and it's going to be the Galactic Football Series by Scott Sigler.
Yes.
I mean, it takes a special talent to take the rules of NFL football set in a league structured like the English Premiership, fought by 8-foot, 600-pound space aliens on other planets with crickets for wide receivers and flying squids for doctors.
Yes.
It is cool. It is weird. And it's young adult.
Mm. Yes, it is.
And what a great book series.
Well, and one thing that I have to say is that I don't like football, and I'm not the only one who, reading this, I enjoy it. It's about football, but it really doesn't matter that it's about football. And I actually understand a little bit more about football now that I have read the books.
Well, the thing that I love about it is, and I've been a longtime fan of Scott's, is the growth of the central character over all of the books that have come out so far in podcast form. Just, you know, Quentin Barnes starts out as this, you know, complete racist, fill in the blank, you know.
And not by choice, just by isolation.
No. And
that mechanism to show his growth is really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end, I'm really, at the end of the last book, I'm really identifying with him, and he's, and seeing how far he's come. So yeah, that's really good. My only pet peeve with that, and you mentioned it's young adult.
I see where you're going.
It's quotation young adult.
Yeah, there's a lot of violence. Much of it happens kind of off the screen, but there's a lot of violence, and he replaces his favorite word, which begins with F, with, you know, one of these sort of loan words or made up words, and that kind of took me out of the story every time I heard it. So it feels like he sanitized it just enough to put the young adult label on it, which I can forgive him for because the rest of the story is so good. But it definitely hit a pet peeve there for me.
Mm. Yeah, young adult is a very broad topic.
I see it the other way. I could do with an extra 20 pages where he adds all the gore and puts the proper words in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
Okay.
I think that, you know, when somebody sees something and they go, oh, it's young adult, and then they think they can just buy it for a kid, I don't think that works, because young adult could be anywhere from, like, you know, fourth grade to 12th grade.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with these books. You know, much as other young adult, that is not the case with. I mean, you wouldn't give Twilight to a fifth grader.
No, I see young adult as, like, you know, 11 to early 20s. But yeah, there's a lot of, that's a huge spectrum.
All right, so I'm just going to mention one more of my favorite genre mashups, because we have... This is a long-standing book series that started being written, the comics written, I think, the 50s and 60s and 70s in France by two guys named Goscinny and Onderzo. It's about two Gauls. Gauls are the ancient French, being attacked by these Roman conquerors. But this little Gaulish village has access to a magic potion brewed by their druid named, in English, Getafix. And Getafix uses this magic potion to imbue them all with super strength, and they go around punching Romans. And they punch the Romans so hard that they fly up into the air, and their little sandals keep spinning on the ground while the Romans fly, and then they organize them in a neat little pile in the middle of the camp. The stories are called Asterix and Obelix. They have to be read in French to get all of the proper puns. I find them really hard to read.
They're still funny in English.
Even in French. In English, they are still masterpieces. Wow. Lately, they've been turning them into a series of movies with Gérard Depardieu playing the role of Obelix, one of the title characters. One of the movies they did, they had Roberto Benigni playing Caesar. So you've got this classically trained Italian actor speaking in Parisian French with an Italian accent. You want to talk about hard to understand. But wow, are they great, because they play it fast and loose with history. I mean, Asterix and Obelix at the Olympics, they had Michael Schumacher in a German chariot racing them on the racetrack. And they had all black horses, which are the Ferrari horses that Michael Schumacher races. And they even had Jean Todt, the team principal of Ferrari at the time, there with the black racehorses. And he's like tasting the soil. He's like, yeah, it's a good day to race. You know, they just they play it fast and loose, and it's utterly hilarious. Sadly, the third movie is going to have to wait pending legal
being able to fly again.
Yeah, legal troubles with Gerard Depardieu. They were filming in Ireland and they wouldn't let him off the plane to go to the bathroom, so he relieved himself in the aisle.
I remember hearing about that.
So,
yeah.
Is the mashup that you like about this Ferrari and comics?
I was gonna say more the history, the comedy, the fantasy.
Yeah. Okay. I studied French in high school, and my French teacher had the Asterix comics.
Yes.
And so I read those when I was a teenager and loved them. Hilarious. And I also read some of the English translations too. And that's some funny stuff. So I knew where you were going with that.
And Paul actually typed into the chat. Athletics FTW for the win.
Yes.
Everyone on this hangout is a fan, which is great.
I'm more of a fan of Obelix. Obelix. I'm more a fan of him. He was more funny in the comics.
I haven't seen the movie, so I'll have to track that down.
I'm a bit skewed about comic to movie adaptations. I will stick with the comics. I don't want to ruin.
I'm telling you, the movies are they are campy. They are slapstick. They are directly the panels brought to the film. They use just the right amount of CG into the shots. So you've got Obelix and he baffs the Roman in the face, and the sandals keep spinning, and the Roman flies away.
They like little birds flying around their heads.
Oh yeah, the little birds flying around. Everything.
Not all of the movies have English dubbing or subtitles. The Cleopatra one doesn't even have English subtitles.
No, Asterix and Cleopatra has no subtitles. But Asterix at the Olympics, which is the second one, does, and it's brilliant.
But I've seen, three of them. Two of them did not have subtitles, but I could still kind of get it, and I would have tech translate for me. I've watched a lot of French films without subtitles that way. It works really well.
Speaking of slapstick, I have got to mention one of my favorite slapstick / movie genre thingies. Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, I love Kung Fu Hustle.
I love that, and that is a great mashup because you've got Kung Fu and comedy and parody. Oh, Kung Fu Hustle is fantastic.
The dreaded Axe Gang.
My brother gave me that movie and he said, you have to watch this movie. It is awesome. But my brother, when he says that, either the movie is phenomenally awesome or phenomenally horrible. So you never know which one it's going to be. Is it going to be painful or wonderful? And Kung Fu Hustle was wonderful. It was so good.
I remember a couple of years ago, me and my brother were just messing around on YouTube, looking for funny videos. And no, it was Pixar videos, because we'd seen this bizarre thing of an alien dancing to I Will Survive, Pixar.
Yes.
And I was like, I typed some more Pixar stuff in, and I just saw this Kung Fu cow, and I'm like, okay. And it's a guy having a karate fight with a dairy cow.
Yep.
And I'm laughing now because I know what happened in it. It makes me laugh so much. Just the bit where he's trying to get the upper hand, and the cheats, and then he just.
Okay, it's so funny that Paul can't even explain it without busting up laughing, but I think my favorite part of that was the toots and then doing the
So yeah. Another mashup, if I may.
Yes, go right ahead.
You know what would be really cool?
Yes.
If somebody mixed, let's say,
oh geez,
let's say the time period of the 1860s to the 1890s, that wonderful cowboy Victorian era, depending on your continent, with, let's say, some sort of futuristic sort of technology, as if the technology continued to advance in some respects, but in others stayed rooted in the past.
Like cowboys and aliens?
Or the example I was going to give, like Wild Wild West.
The TV show.
Never saw the TV show, can't comment on it, would love to watch it, but the movie, which some people can hate,
spider.
I loved it. Giant spider and all, Arliss Loveless, half-man in the mechanical steam-powered wheelchair, cool, liked it. Now, why would I like steampunk? Why would I be obsessed? Why do I have a Venetian plague doctor mask with gas fittings coming out of the bottom? Because this is me on weekends, people. I'm that guy.
He wears the mask even when he isn't going anywhere.
Yes, actually. Well, it was really funny. You should see what happens when he goes to the grocery store. A couple weeks ago, we go to the grocery store, pick up a couple items. Next thing we know,
zombies.
There's zombies.
Sorry.
All over town. All nice. Coming from the grocery store.
Tech, I've got your back on the Wild Wild West thing.
Thank you.
It's a movie that is much maligned. I happen to be a huge Will Smith fan. He could do really anything he wanted to, and I'd probably be okay with it.
We could go so far with that statement.
Yes.
Have either of you seen the original series?
Yes. I also happen to be a big fan of the original series, and it contained enough elements of the original series that it was somewhat faithful to it. But obviously, there were some changes. Like, of course, James West is a black man in the movie, and not in the television series. And they do actually go on to explain, you know, why in the movie, why, you know, where, what his background is and stuff, to sort of explain why in that period of time, a black man doing what he's doing probably wouldn't have been very common. But yeah, it the thing that it did was it sort of ramped up the humor level, which some people didn't much care for. So, but I loved it. I loved it quite a bit.
I will say that Wild Wild West, the movie, is definitely better than Wagon's East.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you people are just haters.
And honestly, I mean, it does have Will Smith and Kevin Klein, two men that can almost do no wrong.
They're geniuses.
They're pretty awesome. So.
And a giant spider.
Yeah, there's a giant spider.
Yeah, I love the giant spider bot.
No, I'm definitely into that. I love any idea. Like, one of the reasons why I like that Doctor Who episode is that they've got electricity in the Old West. And I just think that that's fascinating. And I would like to see more stuff like that. Metamorph City, I'm going to rate. And that is the same as Shadowrun, where you've got cyberpunk mixed with fantasy and magic.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
On the podcast front, where I thought you were going with that, Tech, was the Hidden Institute, which is not steampunk. The author would Bran Gamblin would go out of his way to tell you it's not steampunk.
While holding my Tesla rifle,
it's neo-Victorian.
Yes,
and I get the difference.
If you like steampunk, you're gonna like.
You will like the Hidden Institute without question. So that's an excellent sort of traditional, sort of almost Dickensian, story with the sort of steampunk sensibility. Mm-hmm. Some of the technology, particularly the robot. You guys should definitely check that out.
The big difference with Hidden Institute that I found is that in steampunk, they almost want to show you how the machine works. You know, everything is exposed gears and cogs. Brand seems to go out of his way in writing the Hidden Institute in that it's not about the technology, so he doesn't show you how it works and doesn't talk about it. They've got the steam-powered butler, and they have the vehicles that he describes as hoppers.
Yeah.
And then he leaves it at that. He doesn't go into an explanation as to how the thing works, and it doesn't matter, and no one cares.
I think part of the reason he does that, at least this is my own, what I take to the story, is, you know, the main character wouldn't have understood any of that.
Exactly.
So he would have had to break the fourth wall to really explain that. And he likes to stay in the character's head, which is one thing that I like about his writing style.
Would an average person know how a smartphone works? No.
Right.
So he wouldn't explain it while using it.
Magic smoke.
And that's why in my book Jenny Dare, you have no idea. You get no explanation on how the faster than light drive works because she doesn't know. So why would you know? I mean, you know. So yeah, I like that's. But you're right. In more traditional steampunk, you would get something of an explanation or more detail about the tech. So
about me?
No.
Yes. It's all about you, Tech.
Oh, of course it's about me.
So if we're going to go more with steampunk and literature, I'm going to throw out the Parasol Protectorate series by Gail Carrer, the soulless, changeless, heartless, and all of that, because she's got supernatural mixed in with steampunk, which is kind of neat. Vampires, werewolves, ghosts.
Paul, any throwouts there?
Paul
kinda
says...
wish I knew more about steampunk.
Ah.
Don't you live in the UK?
Yeah.
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 Right, so, like, what happened in the 1890s? Yeah, add more gears. That.
Okay, then.
I'll tell you.
Jules Verne's imaginings happening.
Yeah, but Jules Verne was French. He doesn't count.
All this talk about the Victorian sort of era at steampunk reminds me of another great recent comedy horror mashup that I really enjoyed, which would be Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that yet, but I've seen the trailer.
It was a fun movie. It was a fun, fun movie.
I do want to see the movie. I'm not really interested in reading the book, which is very rare to hear me say that, but I do want to see the movie because it looks pretty.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, too. I mean,
I've only seen the trailer, but I have the drinking game ready to go when I get to watch it at home. This is my drinking game for Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Every time he spins an axe, take a drink.
Alcohol poisoning, here it comes.
Here it comes.
That's like the Game of Thrones drinking game. It's you're drunk by the opening credits.
But yeah, I can highly recommend that as an excellent brain departure movie. Because there are large chunks of it that make absolutely no sense in terms of realism whatsoever. Oh. But
speaking of things that make no sense with history or realism, how about World War II movies and violent shoot 'em ups, you know, Quentin Tarantino style?
Inglourious Bastards. I can say that because it's spelled with two E's, so I'm not really swearing. yes. An alternate history look at a special forces unit of Jews going to Germany to exact revenge on the Nazis.
Yeah.
It is fantastically bad.
I haven't seen it yet, so it's definitely on my list.
It's worth watching. It really is. It's as violent as the best Tarantino movies are, you know, in the same vein as Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and so forth. And I won't say that they play fast and loose with history, because that's not even close to it. It's more like, it's what everyone who's ever watched a World War II movie would have wanted to do.
History? What? Yeah. This already happened?
Yeah. What?
Quentin, I thought you wrote this Hitler guy. What, he was real?
But yeah, no, that's absolutely a great one. We're gonna wrap it up because we've been going for 45 minutes. Is there anything more that anybody wants to throw out there that really, you know, Western or genre smash-up that you need to say before we sign off?
Paul has been oddly silent. I'd let him go for a few here.
Two stick out in my mind. Comedy and sci-fi. You've got to go with a classic like Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Red Dwarf.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to... No, but think about Red Dwarf. And I really, really, really hope... No, nothing against you, Nutty, but I really hope Heath and Angela don't listen to this part of the debate. So if you're listening...
Your headphones out now.
Yes, right. Good Men of the Apocalypse is incredible as a Western / sci-fi / comedy.
Oh. Right. Yes.
Please reinsert your headphones.
No. And hopefully Heath and Angela are back. Otherwise,
well,
it was nice talking to you.
I got one more Western that I haven't seen in a while, but I reference it in the trailer for my Kickstarter, is Posse.
Okay.
The thing I love about Posse is it deals with something that you don't see very often in Westerns, which are black cowboys. And it's a really cool alternative look at that period of time. And it's got some great acting. And I think it came out in the early 90s, so it's probably on Netflix. Watch it, instant watch, I would imagine.
Cool.
So I need to revisit that because I haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, it's a good movie.
I will say dishonorable mentions that I have. Growing up, I used to watch, what was it, The Young Riders, which was a television show about Pony Express riders. And I thought it was so good. And then I tried to watch it as an adult, and I was like, wow, this is so bad. And that made me sad.
Mm. Ooh, not not a dishonorable mention, but I don't know how we went this far without mentioning Briscoe County Jr.
Of course, Bruce Campbell.
So, dishonorable mentions. Yeah, I'm with Tech. Earlier you mentioned the whole Ricochet thing.
I know, hate that sound.
That did hurt some Westerns for me too. But any movie that most Westerns, especially the black and white ones, and their treatment of the Native Americans.
And the horses.
And the horse, yeah. I mean, just tripping. Yeah, just not not good. So that's why I'll be interested to see how good or bad the upcoming Lone Ranger remake is.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that.
Another I'm on the
dishonorable
fence.
Mention I will throw out there is Bad Girls. Lots of really good looking women. I've watched. It's more of a guilty pleasure. Because I will watch that movie too many times than is healthy, but it's so bad. It's, what is it? Madeline Stowe, Drew Barrymore, what's her name with the little nose? Crud. I don't remember. There's four women and they're all gorgeous.
She had a nose?
Yes, she had a nose. Huh. And
wait, I'm waiting for the bad. I'm waiting for the bad part.
More long plot and storyline. But yeah, no, it's visually great because you get to, you know, see a lot. And I definitely have this memory of Madeline Stowe in nothing but boots and a gun and pretty much kicking butt.
And what's this movie called again?
Bad Girls. Came out in the 90s. It's it's a guilty pleasure. But that's about it. So we're just going to go around, let everybody pimp what they got to pimp. We're going to start with Scott. Scott, go ahead, pimp away.
Well, we've mentioned my Kickstarter a few times this evening. You can find out more about it by going to kickstarter.scottroche.com. That'll redirect you to the Kickstarter page. There is some representation in the Kickstarter for this, but go to flagislandpress.com and check out our sci-fi and fantasy zine flagship.
And Paul?
Red Dwarf intro cast. I really don't know what to say. It's awesome. You can find us on Facebook. Just type in Red Dwarf intro cast in the search bar.
Just don't spoil the newbies.
Yeah, don't spoil.
Or come at you and tell you how much he hates Firefly.
Kicking man while he's down. I was going to say that next. I was actually going to say that was my dishonorable mention for mashups. But I can actually say that for a reason, though, because I've actually seen the first couple of episodes and I'm like, no. It's not my thing at all. Bring back Dark Angel.
Wow.
I like Dark Angel. Shut up. I don't want to hear about it. Dark Angel was a stupid AIM name. Get over it.
Yeah, whatever.
Tech doesn't like Dark Angel because it's still his original AIM name.
My original online name was Dark Angel before I became Techno Boy.
And then as soon as the
TV show came out, everyone online assumed I was female. Oh, you must like the TV show. I've never watched it. I hate it. I don't. But
you can't hate it if you've never watched it.
I've seen enough. I've read part of a review online. I am not a fan. No,
that's not true.
Why you hated Firefly before you watched it?
But I've watched it and I still hate it.
I hate all of the Twilight movies and I've never seen any of them. So
there we go.
That's not
even going to get a fair shake. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn. Pimp yourself.
Pimp, I am the Clockwork Doctor. You can find me guesting on Nutty's blog at nimlast.org/blog.
Or you could go to nimlast.org/theclockworkdoctor, all one word.
Yes. You have your own page. /the Clockwork Doctor, and you can get to my own page there, which will be updated again soon. Stay tuned for Super Secret NaNoWriMo Project. That's no longer much of a secret. But has something to do with guns, science, ballistics, Mars, and real soldiers there tomorrow, written as a science fact book. This is nonfiction work, people. I'm doing something weird here, and I think it'll be pretty good if I can actually get myself in front of the keyboard to write the darn thing. But You can find me on Twitter at TheClockDoc, three words, underscores, at TheClockDoc. Please follow me, yell at me, and tell me things about Mars I don't know.
Yay. All right, and thank you very much, everyone, and this has been A Nutty Debate. Please send your feedback in to nuttybites@nimlos.org. Call in at 347-NUTTY-42. I believe that is 6888-942. For those of you who don't understand that numbers correlate to letters.
Or the three people still on rotary phones.
Yes. wait, really? Anyway. All right, Suzanne. Thank you very much, and we'll see you soon. Thank you. And, yeah, that's it.
Thanks. Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Scott Roche, author of the novel Jenny Dare Crimson Sands and editor at Flying Island Press. And have I got something for you. If you like cowboys and you like samurai, I have a Kickstarter that you really need to check out. This short story anthology will have works from Jake Bible, Justin McCumber, Zach Ricks, Jared Axelrod, and Doc Coleman, and myself. We have some great ideas, and if you go to kickstarter.scottroche.com, you'll find out more, and you will want to back it as much as I want it to succeed.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlos Studios. You can find us at nimlos.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlos.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything. I hit record now, and I'm going to hit start broadcast in just a bit. But wait, I haven't decided what our topic is. Well, we'll see.
Topic? We don't need...
Yeah, who needs topics? Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It is another Nutty Debate hosted live on Google Plus Hangouts. Yay! Hey. And tonight we are going to be talking all about Westerns because we have got a special guest with us tonight. We have got Mr. Scott Roche. That's where you say hi, introduce yourself. Oh no. Did we lose him?
Did we lose him? We lost Scott.
We did. He's all frozen.
He's all frozen. Oh my.
Well, this is an entertaining hangout. Da 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 da. Vamp, vamp. Go ahead, talk. Yeah, see how hard it is? He was making fun of me the other day because I was on the radio station and I was told to vamp without warning. And
yes, my love, but you were given a topic.
Yes, nursing in Scandinavia. Expand on this for a moment while I cough.
Swedish blondes in nursing outfits.
No, I could not say that on the lunchbox.
Why not? This is a live radio show. You can say that.
No.
Where are the dirty words? Where are the seven words you can't say in the phrase Swedish nurses, Swedish blondes in nursing uniforms? Oh, it's the drool sound that's forbidden, right?
Oy vey.
We have Scott again.
Scott back, yay!
Yay!
We were talking about how hard it is to vamp.
And Swedish nurses.
And Swedish nurses. All right, so let's start that again.
I see Scott has no comment.
No comment. No comment.
Norwegian nurses, then?
Finnish?
Yes. There is no such thing as a bad nurse.
technically. I mean, anyway.
Well, naughty, yes, but...
Ratchet?
Misguided.
Misguided. Much like Harley Quinn. Although she was a doctor, but, you know, she does the whole nurse thing in Arkham Horror. Anyway, here we go.
I'll get it from the shelf. Hold on one second.
Uh-oh. Are you about to steal my favorite Western?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yep.
My favorite Western? The thing, it's not... Shut up.
So, let's unmute him. Did I unmute him? Let's see. I don't know what these buttons do.
I'm here.
There we go, we've got Paul. Hello, Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Yay!